Racist, and we're live. Welcome.
Wow, that was nice. You just jump right into the pool. Like,
yeah. Welcome back to All of This Is Temporary. We have a very special episode. Our first ever, one and only, right between the uprights, down the center. We got a guest, Sal Luciano. What the hell's your last name?
Yeah, you said that pretty good. Thank you. Yeah, but it's Luciano. But
Luciano. Yeah. Sal Luciano in the house.
Welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I get an applause. You don't clap for yourself.
I get excited. I don't get many applauses in my life. So,
Man, this is fun. We've been looking forward to having you in here. Sal is the host of my new favorite open mic down at Cheers Tavern, and I'm really, really appreciative.
That's awesome. Thank you.
What you put together.
We try. We try very hard every day, every week. We try to put on the best show. I've been to many open mics since the time that I started doing comedy, and I always wanted to do one where people actually enjoy going to, because a lot of them are like, they go and do it, they do their time, and then they're gone. You know?
Yeah,
they're on today. Oh,
it's nice.
Yeah,
this last Friday was really fun. It's been like a nice little hang after.
Yeah, you want to be? I mean, I don't know. I just get told what I'm. You know what you see from other comedians. Networking is what you have to do. I've been to other open mics in the Valley where you go and do your time, and then you know there's another spot, so then you're off to the next spot. There's no networking being done. There's no promoting on trying to get a more bigger feature show or something of that. Everything you do is to get recognition of what your thoughts and everything are being put out there.
Yeah.
So,
well, what's interesting too is, you know, what I think is what is necessary in like building a comedy career is finding a crew of people. So the networking, yes, but it's also the hang, right?
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of people maybe get the cart in front of the horse where they go, oh, I want to build this career. Like when I first started getting into it, there was a young guy. Have you met, what's his name? I forget his name. I hate on him super hard. He is the one that was like complaining about not getting up.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
When he first started.
Eric, is it like Spatz or something like that?
I don't know.
Spitz, let's call him Eric Spitz.
I'm very good with faces. I'm terrible with names. So I bet I have seen him.
Well, he was just like charging so hard at trying to get his career going that he forgot that this is supposed to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing is supposed to be a fun hang where you go tell some jokes on stage and try to get people to laugh.
Yep.
And what's interesting about the Cheers experience is what I've learned is if you're bad, it's noisy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good, it's quiet. It means you've got their attention. Whether you take a shit on stage or not is kind of up to you. But being entertaining and engaging is what you find out if you have it, based on whether or not it's loud or quiet in Cheers.
When
quiet, it means they're fucking listening to you. And it's
And when I try new material, what I look for is actually the wait staff to like chuckle. If you get if you get like a bartender or like the bar back to kind of chuckle at like some of your new stuff, that's when you know you have something, because those individuals hear all sorts of goddamn shit.
But Justin doesn't steal your shit. Justin, don't you fucking take your shit, you motherfucker. I told him a joke that I meant to tell last Friday and I forgot. Somehow it didn't transfer to my paper.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, do I burn it? All right, let's burn it here because nobody's listening, but I'm going to tell it. Next Friday.
Okay.
So I challenged myself to try to write a joke, and a street joke came to me. Okay.
Okay.
So what I do, and this is the hard part, I set this joke up every single time by saying, I'm pretty sure I wrote this joke, but I hear a lot of jokes. So if you've heard this before, come see me after the show and fucking tell me that you've heard this before. And if you've heard this right now, joke dick it, interrupt me, and tell me the answer.
Okay.
What's the difference between blowjobs and first impressions?
I've never, I'm going to say I've never heard of anything like this, so go ahead.
You only get one chance at giving a good first impression.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I don't think there's a bad blowjob out there. So
you've never had a bad blowjob? That leads me into my next joke.
Yeah. Blowjobs and sex is like pizza, right? There's even when it's bad.
Even when it's so, you enjoy something.
When I told that joke, it was a part of a bigger joke. So actually, it was the punchline of a different joke where it's like, have you ever given midstream frustrated blowjob advice? Mid blowjob frustrated advice.
There's no one to talk about last night.
I've never had one.
Wait, we need a timeout. Let's take a timeout and regroup here. That's terrible. No, I've never have. Because I'm just glad that there's a lady out there that would be entertaining the time with me.
See, I had to say this phrase. Will you have to suck it? A girl once told me I give bad blowjobs.
Okay.
And I was young. I'm like, there's no way this is a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you fucking brushed my leg in the hallway, I'd have to, like, tell you, oh, this never happens to me. Give me a second.
I'll need
to go in another minute. But this girl, like, she just didn't do, it was just like, she just sort of was breathing on it and scraping her teeth. I don't know how she used her molars and stuff, but. At one point, I had to tell her, because she goes, what can I do to make it better? Literally in the act, and this was in the back seat of a car. And I go, well, you have to suck it. Because I'm like, she proved it to me that she couldn't. And I was like, man, I really didn't see this conversation.
I wonder how many other women get to hear about their boyfriend's blowjobs.
Right.
Yeah.
This one's going to be just between him and I. So,
yeah.
Sorry,
guys, I got to tell you, we look fantastic. This is such a fun setup. But can you scoot closer to the table?
Me?
Yeah, you're kind of come on.
To do.
We got to make sure that our local
position,
hot bunny, appears on screen.
Yeah.
Don't put his glass over there. Watch out.
I know. I've got it looking dangerous. Right.
Luckily,
here.
The studio is set up to where we have all of the recording equipment right next to, like, I think you're supposed to carry the glass of water across the main item every time. That's what I'm going to do. So,
yeah.
So anyway, welcome to All of This is Temporary, that show where we sit down and we entertain four or five people. They are Greg, Terrell, Steve. No.
Oh, you know your audience by first name, huh?
They're only the people that we...
Yeah, well, welcome.
Richie makes his appearances all the time.
Sam's a dedicated listener.
Oh, Sam is in.
Shout out to Sam.
Yeah. We did a murder mystery game with Sam and Nicole last night. So.
Did you solve it?
We did.
Yeah, it's nice. A really fun game. So it's a box, and in the box is just one crime. And you work together. You can work in teams. You have, like, witnesses and crime scene stuff, like evidence.
Like an evidence, yeah.
Which of, and there's always, like, a handful of suspects.
Yeah. So
you have to pick which of the suspects actually did it. It's so fun.
It's a cold case that has all of the clues to be a solved case. Which brings us to, I can't believe we invited the cops
to
the studio.
Yeah.
Former retired police officer right here.
Former retired means he's active duty.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Former police officer.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Put the weed away, babe. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, 16 years. 16 years with Phoenix.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Amazing. I come from a family of cops.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Actually, the event.
We're going to a memorial today for my grandfather.
Yeah. All cops. Their name is
even
cop.
Even the last name is cop. you're in good hands.
That's crazy. Well, I didn't become one because like a long lost dream or anything like that. I just didn't want to go to school. And I got all C's in high school, so it just naturally progressed into, like, what can I do that doesn't really require a whole lot of mental thinking, has, like, a career that's respected? Oh, police work. That's what I'll do.
Who said it paid a little better than the post office?
Yeah, pay a little better. Yeah.
Like, plus, I get it.
Wearing a badge is kind of cool, you know. That's about it.
What's your badge number?
9023. Yep. With Phoenix. Yep.
9023.
90230. Yeah.
What's up, Matthew Perry?
Yeah. Yeah, you can nick me. Yeah.
Well, what's, I mean, so Were you a street cop?
Yeah, patrol, third shift, my entire career.
Third shift is that?
The midnight one. Graves, yeah.
Okay.
From 9 at night to 7 in the morning. And I patrolled pretty much every aspect of Phoenix.
I mean, that's when the shit goes down.
Yeah. The third shift is the greatest shift because if something goes down, it's a big deal. But a lot of you don't have to deal with shoplifters because all the stores are closed. You don't really have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You don't have to deal with like. Traffic accidents other than DUI stuff. Mm-hmm. But like the,
those are fun.
Yeah. But outside of like, oh man, they're.
What was the craziest shit you pulled on somebody? Like where you like, hell son, do a flip. Try, do, you know what? We're going to add to this.
Can you? Yeah, you mean the, like doing the field sobriety test? Oh, so I mean.
I love that Reno 911 skit where she's like, bump, bump, bump.
Yeah. And you got to. No, I've always had this messed up brain, right? Like as a person that tries to be funny all the time or whatever, like you'd have the one serious officer out there, you know, he's doing the. You know, the field sobriety test, he's checking the eye stagness and stuff like that. And then you'd be there and you'd be like, all right, cartwheel time. Uh-huh. Like, if you can do this, we're going to let you off. And you would get it to the point where the person believed you. And it's like, nah, you crash into somebody's house.
That's how you
bro.
Know
we
they're
can't.
Drunk, if they actually believe you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you're sober, you'd be like, what? No, what? That's not part
yeah.
of the test.
Yeah. Yeah. Your car is in somebody's pool right now. We are not letting
we
you
know
go home. You're not sober.
So you were a cop basically like for all of the beginning of the 2000s, like 2000 to like
2000. I went to the academy in October of 2006 and I patrolled my last day in November of 2019.
Okay.
So during that
big transformation in Phoenix.
Yeah, we went from, and it's crazy because you don't think about it because it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it is a long time ago. We went from like literally having to take the computer out of the car and going back to the station to dock it to do your reports. And a lot of the reports were like almost handwritten. And then you called it in to like a operator that would write it out for you, to like physically doing everything like off of a MacBook inside the car, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you had like a really big situation, you'd have to go to like a firehouse to do your report, like in the beginning. And like now they can do everything. They can print out a ticket. Yeah.
Wow. Right. Cause yeah. the technology.
Oh,
yeah. You know, those guys on TikTok.
No, I don't watch none of that stuff. Okay. I got to start though.
I mean, you
don't do it. Cause you will literally like
get lost.
Will start time traveling.
Yeah.
Sit down to like kill a few minutes. So I take TikTok and I put it on the phone just on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You catch up. TikTok will give you some good news, but you really have to filter through some bullshit because it lies to you.
Yeah.
It will just straight up show you a deep fake, you know, where they take, you know, your
name, face,
image,
likeness,
they can make you with AI. They can make you say anything.
I've heard about this, and like you'll see celebrities doing stuff that you're like, why is he pitching, you know, some random object that
Rogan famously is being
AI
basically used.
Well, because he's got such a strong following, right?
No, it's about the AI can take, if you have anything recorded after today, and mm-hmm. this lives on the internet, we will be able to ask the AI to tell, to make you do literally anything.
Yeah.
Make him throw a child down a well. Do a video.
But it has to be within the parameters of what's been pre-programmed by the software. So.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But they don't need much. The point is, for Rogan, they said that you only need like him to say four or five words.
Yeah.
And they can just reconstruct an entire podcast between two people, a 3-hour podcast, and it'll be relatively interesting.
See, that's why I always thought, like, going back to the police thing, well, females make the best detectives. They can cut through bullshit. Like, you get like an ex-girlfriend of somebody and they'd be right away be like, nah, that's AI. That motherfucker wouldn't talk like that. I know how he enunciates his A's. But for men, we would just be like, yeah, that's Joe Rogan. Yeah. Catching golf clubs.
You can catch it because there are definitely like some changes in like the pauses. Like, you'll hear him, like when he says, it's very robotic, but dude, it's so close.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta like key in and be like, oh, is this real? But anyway, so TikTok, I put it on my phone on Saturday to give me a little bit of news, and then I fact check it and give me a couple funny clips. Like, I have some clips that we were going to play, but
yeah.
Since I'm a technologia, we do no clips of today. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like a lot of people, we like to talk about, you know, like when the robots take over the world, and I don't know, yeah. I have this image of like, you know,
it's happening
like,
right now.
Like the robots that are like kind of broken and don't work very well, they're going to be like the new Walmart greeters. But, like, I wonder, like, do you think cops could be replaced by robots?
Absolutely. Yeah. They are. They are.
Like, RoboCop, so man. We'll just have RoboCops everywhere?
Yeah.
That's the future?
Robots, I do a bit about that. Like, you know how everybody's always worried about Mexicans taking jobs?
Yeah.
I always say, like, robots are taking jobs. There's Alton Chandler, one of my favorite, shout out to Can't Stop Smoking Barbecue. It's a restaurant. It's a great restaurant.
Can't Stop, Won't Stop. Is there a Can't Stop, Won't Stop plate on the menu?
No, honestly, I don't know. But their ribs are good. But
like
when
you can eat.
Endless dining. Yeah. I can't stop, won't stop.
But when you order your food at the counter, right? You order your food. They give you a ticket. Then you take your ticket and you go to your table and you sit down. And then out of nowhere, this Rosie the robot comes out from, holding a tray.
Oh, I've seen that.
And it goes like, you know, number 12, your ribs are done. Number 5. And I
solo, there's a spot that has that.
Yeah, but it's scary. It's scary. I knocked the tray off of that thing. I'm like, I want Hector to bring my ribs out. Where's Javier? Like,
exactly. I'm
sorry.
For that kind of industry, because the reason why people go out to eat is to like be around other people, not to be around more robots.
Yeah. QT has the little. Have you gone to QT?
Not lately.
QT has like the Roomba, am I saying it right? The Roomba robot, but it's a larger.
The Roomba?
Yeah, it's larger to clean the floor, and it's got like a robot face, and it tells you like taquitos are 2-for-1 today. And you're like, turn around and you're like,
holy shit, it's also advertised.
And it's like, all right.
They are.
And it's like, oh, you know what? I do want some taquitos. Thank you. Do you have a name? Like, you're gorgeous. Like, I like the clean floors and you tell me about food options.
You remember, this was the oldest robot. When I was a kid, I remember this from when I was 5 years old. My buddies, the rich people, lived down the street. They were babysitting us, and they had a robot that was just a remote control robot that you could, it had a tray. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it would look like a little R2-D2 guy with a tray.
Okay.
And so you could just put a beer on the tray, and then it would deliver it to the table.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So this is the oldest, and it took this many years. It took 40 years for them to implement it at QT and also make it clean up the.
And if you had that kind of technology in the 80s, you were probably like, dude, these people, would they invent like the color red or something? Like, they're rich as hell to have like a robot like this. But like now, we're like 2 or 3 years away, and there's gonna be robots everywhere,
dude. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna embrace it. Fuck yeah, dude, I'm tired of working.
I guess. Gonna
tell the robot to do all this shit I don't have time for.
Yeah.
Dude, here's what I really think, okay? I think that with AI and with the robotic future, money goes away. It will be the undoing of the rich by their own inventions, because there's an AI program right now. It exists and it works, that will invest money for you and make you money unconditionally, and it never stops trading. All you have to do is plug in the parameters
over your soul
to buy low, sell high, and cut your losses. Sometimes you have to guide it at how to cut losses and when to stop cutting losses, because it will continue to reinvest. So you have to, You just have to program it,
mm-hmm.
and it will nonstop trade. It will nonstop trade Bitcoin or stock options. What that means is everyone can get rich, and what that means is money no longer means anything.
Yeah. But
now you're in a meritocracy like where you actually have to be a valuable human being in order to be a high-value human being, in order to have the extra shit. I think that when the robots can do everything for us, your basics are cared for. Now, if you're a go-getter, that's how you get the trips.
Yeah.
You want to go visit France? Well, you have to work. But your food, water, shelter, space is cared for by the robots. You want to go learn how to surf? Well, you got to work to learn how to surf. But you don't have to work nearly as hard to just stay alive.
So yeah.
That mm-hmm. feeling of, I got to earn this, can disappear in a couple of generations.
I get what you're saying. But the thing that scares me is, like, I've seen clips like I think it's Tesla that has like this like all out like helper bot.
Yeah.
And it's like watering. Yeah. It's like watering the plants around the house. So it lets dad have a little bit more time for himself. Then it starts playing Parcheesi with the kids at the table. Like, when does the wife just go like, hey, we need to talk.
Yeah.
C-3PO and I are getting along great. There's really no need for you to be here anymore.
Well, the husband gets replaced. You got it all.
It sounds like the bot's doing the wife's work because they can even do everything.
Yeah.
Because also the first robots that we made were the sex dolls.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just watched that Tesla commercial and this robot is doing everything. It's taking the kids to practice. It's putting food in the refrigerator. Eventually your wife is going to be like, this...
Is there a Tesla commercial?
Yeah, look it up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna find it while you guys keep talking.
Stuff on the screen.
I should be able to send it to the screen. Yeah, but I don't.
Yeah, you'll see. He waters the plants.
We won't hear the sound. Really? The screen won't put it up.
Here's the thing, though. Like, plants need carbon. What do we emit?
Carbon dioxide.
They need that to grow, and so that's part of like when a human is watering a plant, it needs that, and children need that interaction with a human. So. I don't know how long that would actually last, but there are always going to be people who are going to try to automate.
I'm just so old school. I love gas, like in my vehicles, and like I want like engine rattling, oil spilling on the driveway, and like when I see people with like electric cars and everything, I'm like just.
Oh, I got one of those.
Mm-hmm. He does. Yeah.
I have everything though. Here's
the old car over here.
The Tesla.
No. The which you got like car? What is it? A Wagoneer that's underneath this?
Oh, that's a Jeep. That's a full size.
Hey, there you go.
Truck. So
yeah, bring that thing back out.
Chevy's also mine.
There you go.
So the Chevy that you had to drive past. That's my gate.
Yeah.
But I've got a diesel. I've got a gas, and I've got electric. And here's why. Okay. I'm a mechanic.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's better.
Yeah.
100,000% Ospadania, it's better.
The electric car.
1,000%.
Without a doubt. And it even goes faster.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if I was a female, I would not, like, not to get graphic on you, my vagina would dry up seeing a guy coming by in an electric car. I want gas. I want a brontosaurus strapped to the back.
Female I've ever met. Yeah. They don't give a shit.
No, they do. I think so. You like
looks expensive, she's getting wet.
Yeah.
Some girls like the roar of an engine.
Yeah.
Most women
don't care.
Prefer. So here's the deal. When at the turn of the last century, mm-hmm. when the automobile made its appearance into the scene as the industry revolutionized the world, right? As oil was coming up with the big industrial revolution. Automobiles were on the scene. There were three main kinds. There was gasoline, steam-powered, and electric.
Oh, I know that. Down.
Okay, so...
Oh, I'm from Detroit. I know all about the auto industry.
You might know that women and fancy men is what they were called.
Fancy.
That's what they were called in the day. Just a dandy.
Yeah, a dandy. A little metrosexual now, but...
Preferred the electric because back in the day, the gas cars shot out exhaust and everything, mm-hmm. and they were messing old.
You're deep. Dirty and oily.
The time you took me out in the Chevy and out front.
He was riding like a dog with her head out the window.
Because there's a gas tank is inside the cab, yeah, so, and it was strong. So strong. I've never smelled it before.
Knock you out.
That's well, she'll never be allowed.
I couldn't pass out. He wasn't going to let me in the truck again if I was going to act like that.
No, but you know, the reality is if they had been working on that technology the whole time, batteries would be more advanced. But
it got suppressed,
sidelined. No, yeah, sidelined. I think it was natural because back then kerosene was how houses were lit. Mm-hmm. Kerosene lamps. When you crack oil, you get kerosene at one level, you get some diesel, and then you get gasoline at the top level. If you've ever seen cracking, all you do is you put it in a tower, a cracking tower, and then it separates into different layers and gasoline's at the top. Yeah. So gasoline was literally a byproduct of generating the kerosene that was required to light all people's houses. This was before electricity was in all the homes.
Yeah.
Once the electricity went into the homes, we should have switched. But by then, they had already figured out that they can sell us this gasoline, so we'll continue chugging this stuff out of the ground. They had already established it, but it was by default. It was because there was a leftover byproduct mm-hmm. that was free to use. And then once they had it, it's like, okay, we're just going to keep using that instead of converting to electricity, which is the far better method of getting around. Flailing parts inside of an engine is not, it is a
like you brought out all of the reasoning and logical. You got it all down. You did a good job. You sold it. But the moving parts is what makes me feel this car is alive. Like there's combustion going on. There's an a controlled explosion in this engine. Like we could die.
Yeah.
You know, if the wrong thing were to happen, like we could blow up. Like that adrenaline, I want a bird to fall from the sky. Like when I hit my acceleration. Like
you should try snowboarding. No, I
ripping off. I trying to save the world and being green. I'm done with that at this point. I'm over it. These kids today are in already, it's not even worth trying to save it for them anyways. They're terrible.
Yeah, I also just feel like have everything. Try, you know, do everything. If they had a steam-powered car, I'd have one of those too. But, I mean, I'm sure they do.
Jay Leno has one, right? Yeah, Jay Leno.
But he also burned half his face off with it.
Yeah.
I think, didn't he steam his face off? Or did he?
He steamed. It did. Something happened.
Or was it one of his old gas motors?
I think it was the steam engine one.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it really was, yeah.
Dude, you ever tell like jokes and then you're like caught in the, you feel like you're in the zeitgeist. So when Jay Leno recently fell down that hill,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, he's getting like, he's having like, he's turning into Wile E. Coyote.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like, you know, at one point he like literally, he has a rocket bike. He's literally straps himself to a rocket,
mm-hmm.
just like Wile E. Coyote does. He caught himself on fire, like explosions, Wile E. Coyote. Then he fell down a comically long hill. And then that same week, we were listening to the Protect Our Parks podcast with Rogan and Gillis and Mark Normand and Ari Shaffir.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucking said the exact, they were like, oh yeah, he's having like Wile E. Coyote injuries.
Yeah.
You ever feel like the jokes are their own thing and we're just.
Yeah, if you have a good sense of humor. And I feel like you guys do, and I do. Like, you'll have an idea. Like, funniness comes from a certain place, right? So you'll draw, like, an idea. There's multiple times where I'll find something. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And then subconsciously, a day later, I'm watching a Netflix special, and a comedian says it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right on stage. And you're like, I didn't copy this motherfucker. I didn't even know he was thinking this. One in particular was George Lopez. It was right after I had my first child, my son. My wife had showed me how to install the car seat, and unlike when we were young, like you went home in a box, you know, you just stood in the back of the car. There's like belts that go this way. There's belts that go this way. Serpentine belts this way. And I'm like, dude, where's this guy going? To the moon? He's taking his and word for word, George Lopez did that like on his special. Wow. And I was like, yeah, it all comes. kind of from the same place.
Yeah. I think there's like a zeitgeist, like it's its own set of information, and then we're like tuning into it. It's like,
yeah.
So whoever is tuning in the most gets to win the prize. But then you have to format it.
Yeah, format it.
That's the hard part.
You can even have similar premises, right? Similar premises, like with the Puff Daddy trial that's going on. Oh,
of course.
Right? You know, the first thing I start to listen to all the stuff on the news is, you know, 1,000 bottles of baby oil, 1,000, you know, I don't think I've ever known anybody to go through one bottle of baby oil.
Right. That doesn't live in your cabinet.
Yeah, it lives in your cabinet.
Pass it on to
you. Yeah.
Even with the cap off, it won't evaporate.
Yeah, your grandmother still has it in her medicine cabinet. The label is faded. And yet you hear comedians go and you're like, damn it, I was working on that.
See, mine is if your name is somewhere between did he and diddle, he did it.
Oh yeah,
damn. But sure. What I want to know, so here's the crazy thing that like hits me about that whole thing. Wasn't he in trouble for like sex trafficking? But the whole trial is about how freaky he is.
Yeah,
it's all about because they're the sex party.
Up their sex trafficking.
Yeah,
that's the whole.
It's thing. Like, so that's what we're gonna try him for, is being the best freak.
Yeah, for throwing the best parties. That's not a crime.
The thing that people don't realize about sex trafficking is you are trafficking an object, a female, a child, to another party, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get in trouble for sex trafficking, you're going to open the door to who are your customers that you are trafficking this person to. And a lot of people with a lot of money don't want that information.
Right. No, exactly. Right. Yeah. No, right. I think we're all on the same page with, yeah, they're not looking real hard at what actually happened.
Stooth. No. Yeah.
So speaking of, though, in the news, this is something that I learned today that you said you didn't look at the news. Yeah. The United States has officially joined the conflict and has bombed Iran this morning.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I heard about it.
Oh, okay.
I do have a cell phone. Okay. So like when I'm not looking at porn and directions, news feeds do pop up.
Wait, babe, you can look at porn on your phone?
Wait, you can have directions?
You can look at porn on your phone. Well, that's just crazy to me.
It used to go smaller in size each year until we could get porn.
Yeah.
Then the screen got real big.
Once there's a screen.
Yeah.
It is crazy that we've entered the war, though, under the same pretense. It's a fake. You know, they don't have any actual proof. They're not showing us proof. You remember back in when we joined the Iran or the when we attacked Iraq,
mm-hmm.
we proved it that they had weapons of mass destruction, the WMD scare. And they did it with a computer simulation is what they showed us.
Okay.
This is what they
could. Everything you say, I'm just going to take for. Yep. Sure.
Well, I remember this very. So it was Colin Powell, who was the defense secretary at the time. And he showed the nation a computer rendering, an animated computer rendering of what could have happened, where they could have had weapons of mass destruction. And that was how they sold the whole country. And they just did the same exact thing. They tried to attack Iran back then. And every few years since then, Netanyahu has been announcing that they're weeks away from being able to have
since like nuclear 2006.
Bombs. And he just did.
He went to the police academy.
20 years of him saying they could.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's longer than that because it was, about 20 plus years.
Say anything. I mean, you really can't. Yeah, am I going to be like, well, let me just go over there and we'll find out ourselves?
That's what they
expect. I got to go, cut trees to pay a light bill.
So what else is going on? Like, they're in cahoots, the Trumps, the Bushes. There's something else going on that we don't really want.
Together. It must be really cool to be, like, really rich and of power to get in a room with other people and,
You asked me about conspiracies?
Yeah, earlier.
Here's a crazy one. This is not a conspiracy. This is simple history, okay?
Okay.
You know who Nikola Tesla was?
Yes.
Okay, great inventor.
Yep.
Pretty much the most prominent inventor of all time. Mm. Like, he is single-handedly responsible for incandescent light bulbs, AC power, solar,
the way charging we use electricity,
stuff, you know,
the way
that X-rays, like
yeah.
radio waves,
gamma rays,
sending technology to the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't learn about him.
Not a damn thing.
He was erased. At the time of his death, he had somewhere between 80 and 240 trunks of inventions and papers. There were two people that presided over whether or not those trunks were going to be useful information. They decided there was no useful information in those trunks of the most predominant inventor of all time. Guess who those two people
were? Made some bangers, and then along with those bangers, it was like a steel-wired toothbrush.
Sure. And guess who the two people? There were two people at the top of the heap. One of them was named Vannevar Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in the Bush family.
Okay.
Was named John Trump.
Oh, yeah.
In the Trump family. So since then, I mean, since this goes back forever.
Deep.
It's the same people. It's the same families in control of the country forever. And the Bush name, I was like, let's go. How far back does Bush go? The Bush name dates back to the London Company that sent three ships in 1606, and one of the guys from the London Company impregnated a native woman, and she had 14 kids, and of that 14 descendants, we have the Bush family. As if I'm correct, if all that dates back correct.
Yeah.
So this is just the longest lasting control arm you've ever seen in your life, and we're all just lucky to be breathing
air. These are the two families that have brought us to war in the Middle East in like the last two decades.
Yes, it's crazy.
And this
Sal.
Is all within 100 years of when those trunks were.
And like,
it's very strange.
What's amazing about that is that they were able to do that for that such longevity. Because I tell you right now, if my dad gave me his business, I'd probably bankrupt that thing with it.
Or sell
it. Sell it. Yeah. Like,
well, they've
like
tried to bankrupt it a few times, I think, but they just, it keeps bouncing back at it.
Yeah, that's our favorite conspiracy theory. That is probably fact.
I mean, it's not a conspiracy. It's just history.
So yeah.
What's crazy is they call you a conspiracy theorist and they try to throw shade at you. And as soon as you say anything, they go aliens, and then that discredits what you're saying. But now aliens are real, and so they can't even discredit you with that.
Well, they didn't even start throwing around the term conspiracy theory until Kennedy was shot, and people were like, what? Who shot him? Conspiracy theory.
You're full of shit.
You know, it's just gaslighting when you're trying to find out what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, let's get back to comedy. Let's do...
I'm getting cold. The fireplace went away.
No, it did that on its own from the other computer. It just decided it was tired. And
I'm excited. I'll put my glasses away.
It just stopped for whatever reason. You know how technology does around here?
Yeah,
we do. Are you recording, by the way?
I have been checking. Dude, this is a plague where sometimes it'll just become fuzzy and stop. So I don't worry. I closed everything. And reopened it fresh. We're in good shape.
Awesome.
We're actually already at almost 40 minutes. So
holy moly.
Let's do your bits.
Yeah. So bit away.
So she's getting ready to do
some comedy.
Comedy.
Cheers. All right.
You know, you're gonna be the
59th Avenue and Bell. Cheers. World famous Glendale, Arizona.
It's a good spot.
Dude, it's so fun because it's so welcoming. Yeah. You know, it just feels like, you know, comfortable.
You don't want to kick anybody out, you know. At least, unless they do something bad. You know?
Dude, the hosts are intimidating because I think maybe they're uncomfortable or something, but a lot of hosts are, like Garrett, have you been to his open mic over there at Bridget's?
One time, yeah.
Okay. He's great, but it is such an unwelcoming room.
Yeah.
The ice machine going and country music in the other room.
And
so it's like, it's separate.
You're a tall guy. How tall are you? You're like six foot something, right? That I feel like every time I'm at Bridget's, the ceiling is coming lower, like on you. Like, am I, you know?
Well, the theory is you want low ceilings for tight laughter feedback. Nobody's
laughing. It feels like you're getting pressed.
Dude, it's all comedians. So nobody's laughing.
To come out of prune. I'm gonna just, all my juiciness is just gone.
It is so uncomfortable because it's a room full of comedians and nobody's laughing because they're all just thinking about their own shit.
And a very a Mexican girl that's very, she never does jokes, but like she will comment on everything you say.
Oh,
when I've been
like
there.
A heckler?
Yeah.
Really?
And it's like, come on, Rosita, if you want to.
Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married.
I was going to say, all right, maybe we got to fucking see if Rosita wants to see what's up with Rosita Salado.
Yeah, you can come. Bring it. You know, at this stage, I've been married for 15 years.
Oh, that's right. Marianne. Yeah. One kid.
Three kids.
How old are they?
I got a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just kind of, and it was all during the time that I was on third shift. So I always tell my wife, are they even mine? Just like they are all very intelligent, and I'm furthest from that. So, but anyways, come on, hit me with it. Let's see what you got. I want some premises. Yeah.
God. So my boyfriend wants me to try comedy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was a voyeurist. I think he just wants to see me up here eating a dick. Such a cuck.
All right, so let's get into that. Yeah, so we kind of trimmed it down. The joke is obviously, you know,
I have a few different ways to tell that, but that's what we have right now.
Voyeurism and being on stage is equivalent to sometimes you'll just eat a fucking raw dick on stage.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to work on myself. I'm pretty impatient. I've really turned into a jerk as I've gotten older. I haven't always been so mean. I used to be fat. All right, that one needs some work.
The funny thing is, jokes never work. You have to just hit him with the bit.
Yeah.
Fat is beautiful. But I feel like in today's day and age, fat people are starting to become
mean.
Just as mean, yes. A bitch. Because the internet and black guys have convinced them.
That's true.
Because the internet and black guys, that's fucking hilarious. There you go. That's the addition. So write that down.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Okay.
Yeah. That's great. Of course.
Black guys.
But now with the internet and black guys, these fat bitches are mean too.
Yeah.
You don't have to be nice at all.
No. People hide behind their, what is that, keyboard? They troll people.
Oh, yeah. Back screen. Yeah.
I'm behind the screen all the time. I'm in marketing. I work in tech.
Okay.
I'm good at my job. I get everything done, and I'm a hard worker. But someone called me a corporate Karen a couple weeks ago.
A corporate Karen.
One of my colleagues called me a corporate Karen
on a call. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not a corporate Karen. So as soon as we got off, I went.
I don't know what a corporate Karen is, but I would tell you that a person that says I'm not a corporate Karen would be something a corporate Karen would say.
Well, exactly. So the end of the joke is
that's why I went to HR and reported him.
You corporate Karen.
Sounds like
he did call me a corporate Karen though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the reason for it?
He's not doing his job, and I'm having to pick up the slack. Uh-huh. I asked him straight up, why didn't you do this thing that I needed you to do for our boss? And
is he younger?
He goes, whoa, I don't do the corporate Karen thing. And I said,
motherfucker.
How old is he? Yeah, he's got to be young.
27. Yeah.
Young people don't do shit, dude. No. And they're not expected to do anything.
No.
They're not. They don't know anything.
Yeah.
I have some clips that I wanted to bring up. I really wish I had them because it's a new TikTok that just came across my feed. And it's, you know, the Island Boys? Remember those guys?
Yeah.
So there's a following where guys are like, either it's guys that are dressing alike, you know, tattooing the shit out of their face. And then doing just stupid, the most annoying cringe shit.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to a guy who's looking at the screen. He's got a pen. He's like, let me write that down. So let me see if I got this straight. You said so far, ain't nobody gonna flip my whip. New check the flows. Is that right? And it's just like the great. And then it cuts back to, because it replays.
Yeah.
So it cuts immediately back to him saying it. And you're like, that is exactly what he said. Nah saying Write that down. So what I've got you saying is nah saying check the flow. Is that right?
Yep, that's it. You got it.
Just saying nothing and getting millions of views.
Wait till 200 or 300 years from now. Like we look at like Winston Churchill and like all of these, and they have their little quotes and quotations, and you're like, it's inspiring speech.
Yeah.
300 years from now, there's going to be in quotation marks.
That's all I think when I watch some shit. I'm like,
people in the future are going to be like, that motherfucker was inspiring.
He had something to say.
What the fuck is happening?
What the fuck?
Oh, that's just crazy. I got gangster grandma trouble on here.
Oh no!
So this was fun because you were,
by the way,
you were part of it. Yeah. I had never met her.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your first meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was awkward on my fault. Yeah. I have a tendency to make things awkward.
Well, and she had expectations for how it was going to go. Yes.
Okay, Beth, this is a lie. I had no expectations.
I am throwing myself under the bus on this one because I responded poorly because it's like I was going to do comedy. I had never met this woman.
Okay.
And, you know, no offense, but she sort of rattled a lot. She was talking nonstop.
She was telling jokes in the car on the way over.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to tell this on stage. Yeah. But then she's like, as soon as she started with, I'm going to tell you my story, I was like,
So she calls me when I'm on my way down. I'm like pulling in to the mic, and she's like, hey, will you put her on? And I go, because I've never met her.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like make a good impression
at
the mic, but I know everyone's welcome, right?
Yep.
But I'm like, also, if I put her name on, I'm kind of vouching for her. And so I'm pinched like under the wheel a little bit, and I'm a sensitive guy. So I'm like, oh,
So
it like shifts the whole dynamic because I'm in my mode. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to do these jokes. I'm going to try to have a good time. I'm going to try not to sweat through my fucking pit stained shirt, which, by the way, your mic is the only one that makes me feel comfortable where I'm not like, no, your open mic.
Oh, okay.
Is the only one like, I'm not like sweating through where.
Really?
Yeah, because it's comfortable because it's just a room of people having a fun time.
Yeah.
Versus a stage with a spotlight and you're on.
Let me ask you this. Like, where is one that you're like, dude, I hate that room. I could never do that one.
So far, Bridget's is bad. The worse than Bridget's experience, and I have not done a ton of mics.
Yeah.
So I'm going off limited experience. I've been doing it for a couple of years, but I mainly do the stand-up open mic at Stir Crazy. That's where I've mainly only done it. Like,
yeah.
So I just sign up, and I only go up like once a month because it's hard to get up there.
Yeah.
But the Red Band's room at his club in Austin,
I did
the open mic there months ago. So I signed up for Kill Tony and wanted to go on the show. Didn't get called up, obviously. Otherwise, I'd be fucking trying.
We would have 20 people listening to this podcast.
There would be so many people. But I did Red Band's open mic, and it was the worst because it's a room. There are a bunch of chairs facing the stage. Nobody in the chairs. A smattering of comedians lined the outer edge, the wall, and the back seats. Nobody in the chairs up front. Nobody laughing. Totally empty room. 4 p.m. Natural light coming in through the window, and you get played off stage if you overdo your time.
So yeah.
They treat it like an open mic, even though there's nobody fucking there.
That's the one thing that I need to learn to do, though, is like sometimes some comedians will overrun their time at chairs, and I don't.
Shug Nice.
Yeah,
Shug Nice. You, Shug.
Yeah. And I never, like, I'm like, hey, you know, he's kind of closing out this premise, only to then get into another one. And you're like, God damn it. We're just rolling into it.
Yeah.
That's when you got to play the music. I did a show in Vegas at an open mic, and the two hosts there were really cool, but it was a really dingy, dark room. And they take paper that they crumple up into balls and then they duct tape it to make it look like a stone, and then they give baskets of this stuff to the crowd members, so like if the comedian isn't good, you start to get pelted with like these
duct tape balls.
And like,
oh, but they're lightweight because it's paper.
It's not balls of tape. Yeah, that would be heavy.
If there's ever,
and it's like sticky on the outside, so it sticks
to. Yeah, but like what it did was I
can't throw them. It's stuck to your hand. They all fit the floor.
I think I was the fifth one to go up, and what it did was for the few performers that were in front of me, they start to get hit. Like once they start to see that it's not going right for them, or they're starting to bomb. And like, you literally will discover real fast. Can you recover quickly?
Distraction.
Or are you just going to keep getting hit with these paper mache balls? And a lot of them couldn't handle it.
That's great.
I got thrown three or four my way, only when I brought up when I was a police officer. Oh. And then like I was like, I smell the rock and roll in the parking lot. I can rock with you guys. That's what's all good.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Yeah. And then so I liked it because I recovered. So sometimes you need that recovery. The Hideaway out in Avondale is a pretty hard one. Cole East holds that one. Cole's my buddy. But
Cole was there on Friday, right?
Yeah, he was there Friday. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on. I like that. That one's a hard room because you'll go with like, I'm going to do this. And you'll go on stage and it just all gets thrown to the side because there's a lot of like crowd interaction and you're like on the defensive, like, and you're fat and your mustache is crooked.
Oh, so they just heckle.
You want to get heckled.
Well, you gotta, cause you know, the funny thing is like, if I'm just hanging with my buddies, I'm happy to rip. But when I get on stage, if you know, trying to come up with a good, funny comeback that's, you know, witty and clever on stage is hard.
It's hard.
Sometimes
it's hard. You'll get off stage and a minute will go by and you'll be like, God damn it. Why didn't I think of it? Son of a bitch. That would have been perfect.
Yeah. That, I watch like Nan when he went up a couple weeks ago. He's took getting notes from everybody from their sets and like, try to like, you know, like, oh, let me talk shit about that. Sorry. Which is, I think is a pretty fun way to go.
Yeah. He commented on Hillary is my really close friend, Hillary Matthews. And he commented on her broad shoulders and it affected her. She was like, do I got broad shoulders? Do I really got broad? I'm like, he's just needed something to say about it. You maybe take the padding out of the shoulder pads.
I was just stoked with Fire Marshal Jill from 2 weeks ago when I called Garrett.
Yeah.
Because he's got the sharp jaw.
Yeah.
So he's very.
Yeah. You can cut fruit with that jaw. Yeah. Cut that.
No shit. What the hell? Well, what do you got? You got anything you want to talk about? What did you have in your notes for the podcast?
There's all sorts of crazy. Did you hear about the guy that shot his ex-wife at Desert Ridge?
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know any of it. I gotta get a hold of my
by your police scanner. And
you know who does is my uncle, who we're gonna see today.
Still know. That's right.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I didn't really have close friends as I thought I did in the police department. When I left. You instantly feel this, like, I never really played professional sports, but I would associate it as closest to, like, you are no longer part of the team. You are now
right,
like a civilian or something. I do have a good group of close friends that are still involved. And if I were to reach out, they would tell them about it. But I literally just learned about it this morning from my wife.
Oh, yeah.
She was the one that told me, she's like, hey, you know, some guy shot his ex-wife. And I'm like, see. The other thing I wanted to mention is, do you know any females that get heart attacks?
No, that's because they just faint on couches and grapes all day.
Like, heart attack is like one of the leading causes of death, but it only affects middle-aged to like, you know, early 60s men who are literally just done of the, like, getting nagged and... You know, pain, alimony. You know what? My heart is already checked out. I'm checking out too.
All right, let's look up. Do women? Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife said she goes, after menopause, it goes up 20%. I'm like, so it's now 20% of a chance that they die? Because before menopause, it's got to be at zero.
Key points about heart attacks in women. Not all women indeed have a heart. So it turns out.
That would explain
the 20% that do, but they're at risk.
That's why.
That's good. I like that one. And then
what does it say? Yes, it is the leading cause of death for both men and women. They just don't talk about it when a woman's heart
goes, even in death, they want to keep the weight a secret. It wasn't a weight situation. And she just, you know, it was her time. She was 53.
That's very funny. Dude, I've been trying to talk my little brother into, I want to throw his joke under the bus so hard.
Do it.
Because it's a great joke.
As long as you, as long as you tag their name to give them credit, you're okay.
He hasn't told this on stage. I keep trying to talk him into going on stage.
It's supposed to be you and him.
He won't fucking do it.
Well, maybe then you got to hold off.
No, he's not doing it. I'm doing it. I'm throwing it
under the
bus. And I can't steer. It's so good.
I feel like this is a first date. Are we going to do this or not?
Yeah.
The panties coming off.
All right, I'll tell you one of my jokes then. Here's my newest joke premise. I heard when I was down there, somebody mentioned being in menopause. And I was like, menopause? More like megapause.
Yeah.
Megapause. Yeah.
I don't know. That just hit me as funny. And then the other one was, a couple of years ago, they were doing the run on banks. And I was like, I went to the bank and I was like, you can't keep it. They won't give me a withdrawal. I can't make a withdrawal. And they're like, sir, you're at the sperm bank.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. That was a bomb in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you tell that one on stage?
I have not told that one on stage yet. Yeah. This was the first crack at it. Yeah.
You've told me that before, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had the same, you got the same reaction then too.
Like this.
Well, you know, some things just they just need a word tweak or two.
Yeah, or it has to be current events because the run on banks has not happened for a while. But it's about to with the economy the way it
is. Yeah, that's true.
We keep throwing our.
I brought one of my old jokes back, and it didn't go over well at all. But when I used to do it back like in 2013-ish, it would kill the room. So I used to talk about like Tom Collins is a drink that you can get, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who Tom Collins is. Maybe he's like a famous actor day. Maybe he is a musician. Tom Collins. Who is he?
I don't know. Keep going though.
The drink after him, like you know, you
ever saw glass after him?
Yeah, it's a right.
Collins glass.
Yeah. After I was like, dude, you know, like in 2013, there was like so much going on. I was like, I just think we should have more up to date drink specials. Like if I went to the counter and I said, "Hey, good bartender, I'll take a Charlie Sheen, you know, a Belvedere vodka, some cocaine, a Whitney Houston, you know."
And he punch you in the face.
Yeah, and they, you know, you wake up in a bathtub after drinking, you know, like, and now when I do that joke, it's like dead silence. So I just throw the too soon.
Tom Collins is not the name of a real person.
Oh, really?
The Tom Collins cocktail, made with gin, lemon juice, simple syrup, and club soda, is named after a famous hoax that swept through New York and Philadelphia in 1874.
Jesus Christ.
The hoax involved people asking others if they knew Tom Collins. And when the person denied knowing him, the prankster would claim that Tom Collins was spreading rumors about this. This joke was so widespread, it became known as the Great Tom Collins Hoax of 1874.
Dude, you know, like, this is that. Yeah,
etymology.
That's crazy because there was no way to fact check that either. Like, you would have a farmer going like, mother, I'm going to...
Who the fuck is
Tom Collins?
And you know Tom Collins?
Yeah.
He's been spreading rumors about you.
and that's a very common name. There had to be like, oh yeah, Tom Collins, he's shine shoes.
Yeah.
And then that guy got pelted for no goddamn reason.
Tom Collins in every town was just the butt of the joke. And you're like, fuck, I've changed my name, I guess. I don't know how to get out.
Wishing you a nice how do you do, Tom, for talking them fucking lies about me. 18. That's hilarious.
That's how you used to line up for a fight.
Yeah, the chip on your shoulder.
The fighting Irish.
Yeah, you ever hear the I love where stuff comes from. So if you have a chip on your shoulder, you've heard that?
No, hit me with that. You got that little Google search. I don't listen to it.
But you know the saying.
Yeah, I've heard it. Said, do you know where it comes from? I'm like, no, but I know you're going to enlighten me now.
Yeah, back in
the day. I've learned more today here than in school.
Back in the day, in the schoolyard, if you wanted to fight, this is before, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you had, I don't even know if they were backpacks. You would put a wood chip on your shoulder.
Okay.
If you wanted to fight. And then if I was willing to fight, I would knock the chip off your shoulder and then we would fight.
What?
That's where it came from. It was an old.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's looking for
a fight.
A fight.
Yeah.
And something's causing him to
And if someone wants to fit through, they'll knock the chip off your shoulder. You're
bringing that back.
And be like, all right, I'm in.
People look down on their phones now all day long. They don't.
So what we should do is you slap the phone out of their hands and you see if they want to.
Yeah. Hey, man, what the fuck? Yeah. Go time. That's hilarious.
That'll cause a fight for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just whether they wanted it or not.
Yeah, you have a very wide range of trivia that's just stored. That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
All captivated right? inside. Yeah. What I try to do is collect as much information and then I use it to make everyone around me feel stupid.
He's good at that. He's good at that, huh?
We never fight about that.
Yeah.
You know what? It works on stage, but also it doesn't. You know, what I've learned through comedy is expecting other people to put together the dots, you have to button it up for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because most people aren't.
Especially in today's day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's. Yeah. What was that guy's name that had that his own TV show on HBO? Something Miller.
I know who you're talking about.
The late night guy.
He did NFL.
DJ Miller.
No.
Dave Miller. David Miller.
Steve Miller Band.
I don't know. God dang it.
Was it Steve Matthews?
Steven Miller.
Are you sure it wasn't?
Yeah, it might be David Miller. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
the one. Well, he did the NFL for like a half a minute before they were like, you're too smart. Nobody understands what you're saying. They kicked his ass off. But like, he always had that really high, intelligent form of comedy. And every time I watched it, I'd be like, I have no idea what this motherfucker's saying. Am I supposed to laugh?
Well, I think that it's good to have smart jokes, but
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
There we go.
Dennis Jesus. Miller.
Yeah.
I know, right?
We were close.
Yeah.
Shit. David.
Yeah. You have to.
I'm pretty sure it's David Miller. We'll just go with David Miller.
You don't need to look it up.
It doesn't even sound right.
Dennis Miller.
Damn it, Miller. Yeah, no, the other thing about trying to get into comedy now is everybody's doing it. Like everybody has I think so.
It's
I think
more of a hobby now than
because we were looking at moving to Austin, and I.
Yeah, where are you originally from?
From here.
You're from here.
Yeah.
Where's
Zonies? Oh wow.
Yeah, I grew up here. I was actually born in Virginia, but my parents were like pregnant in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Drove to Virginia, had me tried some opportunities out there with my dad's old family.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work, so we moved back here before I was one.
Oh, okay.
So it's like I was born on the run is what I like
you
to tell
even
people.
There for a year. That's pretty.
And then you were born here and then raised partly in Tennessee, right?
I was born here, but I spent like my childhood here in Phoenix. And then we were in Nashville for high school. And then I was there post college and in and out for 10 years.
Well, the only reason why I ask is like Phoenix, especially like in the last year or two, has a very strong comic demographic, if you will. I don't, there's a lot of clubs.
The hard part is there's no place where you can go where there's a strip. Like Austin has a strip of clubs right clustered together, so you can go hit like 2, 3, 4 mics every night of the week. And here it's spaced out and it's all around the city, and a lot of it is really, you know, honestly, doing your open mic has refreshed my desire to work Phoenix more,
because
I was really feeling disappointed about the quality of the mics. I know there are a lot of mics, and there is, Phoenix is a destination for big acts to come through, but it's really not a place to propagate comedians.
Yeah.
It hasn't been, but I think what we need to find, and this ties back, call all the way back to the beginning of the episode where up top, I say, I think it comes down to a clique of homies. There's, you know, when you come up as a comedian, all the comedians who come up with a group of
that's
other
true.
Comedians. So like when
what is your what would your ID then be like to go maybe East Coast, go to LA?
Well, that's the whole thing. You go to LA or you go to New York or you go to Austin. I don't like LA. I don't like New York. Love Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love my house and life here, and it's very well set up and we're well perched and kind of established. But I like shaking it up. I've, you know, traveled a bunch and I did 10 years.
I'm down.
Out and about. To Austin or
I'm
to
down.
Here?
No, I'm down to start going
yeah.
other places. And I know a lot of comedians.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of comedians that are as well. And yeah, I'm right there with you that I couldn't like up and move. But like, you know, if you pick the weekend or a week and you're like, hey, we're going to hit up all these clubs in Austin or we're going to, you know, I'd never been.
Oh, no. And all the wives well, here are like.
Well, that's a year comedian. If you want
to- yeah, you're a comedian. Yeah.
You will be soon.
Yeah, like. Those mics. When I went out to Vegas and I said I was going to start doing some shows out there, I spent that whole week that I was there telling people I was a comedian. Mm-hmm. I've been doing stand up since 2013. This was just this past May that I went to Vegas. And
yeah, you had gone right before we met. You got back. Yeah, and you were telling me about your
trip. That was the first time that I actually told people I'm a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because like it doesn't pay.
Instead of retired cop. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a landscaper now, and that's what I am. I trim trees. It's what pays the bills. One day I would like it to not be that case. But that was the first time where like you and I think you have to be in that mindset. You got to say, I'm a comedian.
Yep.
Anytime you're trying to make somebody laugh, you're a comedian. You're a comedian. So,
dude, and whenever people, if you say it to people, mm-hmm. that ingratiates you to them like immediately. Like everybody wants to be like, oh, it's really?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you? Where are you? What's fun? Like that everyone is into it. Well, so it's like overwhelming support and like engagement.
Yeah, I had like 10 people come out to that show. The place was called the Dive Bar. I had like 10 people come out to that show because I literally hours before going to do my set, I was in the cigar bar and I'm like, I have a show at 8:00. You're more than welcome to come. And then people are like, who is this guy? He's somebody. We got to go see this guy.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then you had duct tape thrown at you.
Yeah. Then I had duct tape thrown at me.
You're like, no, I do a show. Come see me get pelted on stage mm-hmm. by people who are tired of whatever the fuck I'm saying.
It's like, you don't know what to expect. I pushed the door open to that place, and the first person I saw in there was completely painted from head to toe in red paint with devil's horns and a tail sticking out of his head. He looked like one of them, like half goat, half...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Centaur.
Centaur. And I was like, what?
That sounds like the devil.
Yeah. And then there was a guy dressed as like a king with a crown. It was like a very, it was a messed up room, but I had fun.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah, it is what it's about.
The bills with it or not. I mean,
but what we should
most
do is,
people have to like have something to pay the bills.
We should get a group of us together. So one thing I noticed when we, after the show, like Garrett is ready. I think he wants to do it. Your buddy with the handing out the flyers, what's his name?
Oh, Cole East. Yeah.
What is
Cole.
He obviously is doing it. It seems like maybe he's one man bandish, but I don't know him. So I don't really know, but there, the other young guy who is like kind of short, John, I've seen him there like every time, Patrick, what's his name?
Casey.
His name is Casey, too?
Yeah, Casey.
That's funny. That's very Casey.
I told Gray, I was like, he's got Casey Rocket vibes big time.
Yeah.
Casey is a very... Casey's hilarious. I call him the hardest working comedian in the valley.
Yeah, and Cole thought you were talking about him.
And it's
so funny. He threw himself right under the... He's like, I wanted to go up later. And you're like, I wasn't fucking talking to you.
Yeah, and I call Casey the hard... It's crazy. Like, Cole has known that I've called Casey the hardest. He walks to all of his open mics.
Is he, like, unhoused? And also, why didn't he use the mic instead? He's walking around with the little... Yeah. It was funny. The bit was kind of funny.
I've never seen that before. That's why I was like, thank you for coming right after your Wendy shit.
Yeah. He was definitely Jack in the Box.
I'll take a Jumbo Jack, Casey.
That was strange, but I liked it. I don't know if I want it in my car. I haven't smelled him, so, you know.
Love you, Casey.
Don't worry, Casey will never hear this. Neither will anybody else.
Yeah, you need internet.
This is where we say never.
Internet.
You need an electronic.
You need an electronic device.
The game on this podcast is there is a bus and everyone goes under it. Everyone and anyone goes under the bus and it's all in good fun. If you can't handle it, turn it the fuck off. We don't give a shit about your feelings around here. Yeah. my whole joy in life is bullying. Like, bully people is, it makes better people.
Yeah.
Out of people.
Bullying, I know we're probably running way over time.
Fuck it. We're good, man.
But bullying, I do a bit about bullying.
Over time. Yeah, we have the next people are coming in.
So. Yeah. real people. We got to get you out of here.
You're the fluff.
bullying is what made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, these kids grow up and they want to shoot up the schools. Like, we bullied our best friends.
Yeah.
We bullied our best friend. My best friend, he can't have children because I think we kicked him in his nuts so many times.
Yeah.
That they don't work. And I'm not trying to be funny. I think that's true state. No,
I think it's good. I didn't really get bullied when I was growing up.
You were an only child, so you didn't understand.
I was an only child. I didn't really have a lot of friends.
And she's also attractive, you know. But yeah, there is that. But when you're like,
are we listening earlier? She used to be fat, so.
No, but my dad, my stepdad, kind of bullied me quite a bit, quite a bit.
Yeah,
in his own way.
Toughs you up.
I mean, Thunder Thighs was definitely a nickname. Also, growing up.
Under the bus, Rich. Under the bus, pal.
That was your father? That was your
thunder thigh, and then you like go and grab my
was that was your father doing that?
Stepdad.
Married when I was like five.
Okay, but see, as a father, I would probably do, my daughter's the youngest, but I would probably do that too, because I need to get this self-conscious chick. I don't need all these men coming over to the house.
Yeah.
You know, like knocking on my door. I gotta get her like where she locks herself in the room and
make
where
she's self-conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me. That's right. Go lock yourself in the room right there. That's my two sons. I'm like, you get out there and you deliver the goods.
Cause some mayhem.
It's good. I think bullying is good.
Bullying is, yes, it's good.
But I think it would be fun to have a group of us that, you know, that are serious about it, that hit a few mics a week consistently.
Yeah.
That's how you get it. And we should all be, you know what we should do is
you got a Winnebago?
We should go walk in on the Stir Crazy. Have you gone up over there?
I've never done Stir Crazy.
You got to do it. So it's a proper show.
Yeah.
The reason that I love Stir Crazy, and it will spoil you. I'm really stoked that it was my first place that I did it, because it's a fucking sold out show.
Really?
It's a dark room. It sells out every time. So get signed up. Sign up is today
I'm going to have to sign
half
up.
An hour.
They have a burger and beer special for
we are going to sign up.
Oh, dude,
that's
your name on the list. We're going to maybe you'll get drawn. Hopefully,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, do it.
But when's it? You're going to do it. So
you'll probably get drawn because you haven't done it before.
But here's the
thing.
It's 3 minutes. If you bring three people, mm-hmm. you get 7 minutes.
Okay.
So that's a
unless
set.
You're Ray Stone.
Fuck yeah!
Unless you're Ray Stone, you get
five.
You
to
still
seven
get
minutes.
Three.
So the first time I brought people, and I brought seven people.
Right,
not
seven friends.
Time, this was my first.
You got seven friends.
Well,
and,
one of them's a brother.
And as I went up,
do you know I've been doing? My parents do not come to anything I do.
I don't invite my parents to
fight the world. Yeah, yeah. I did a Brigham show at Stand Up Live downtown.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of similar to what you're saying about. But they didn't sell out. You had a good amount of people there, but you didn't. And I told 20 some people, I had one person show up.
Yeah. Dude, this is a real show. You got to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you will fucking shit. It's 100, 220 people, depending on how many comics
done.
Are there.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's a dark, tight room, low ceilings, proper stage with the brick backdrop. Stir Crazy up here,
the
and
inner depression of the comedian. Everything is there,
and you eat it or you don't.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd can be hot or not. It's often not hot, you know. So your job is to be entertaining. If you can't get laughter, at least keep their attention.
Yeah,
and cut. You know,
how do you react now? Because you're kind of somewhat.
I sweat through my fucking shirt.
So
man.
If you feel like when because it's all a feeling.
Here's what I do, bro. I prepare a proper set.
Okay.
For that show, I memorize it. I get my shit down. I work on it all day. And I go up and I at least have a real set that is all the way through. But I've never repeated a joke on that stage.
Okay.
I always do new material. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
But if you feel like if you were to feel like it's not going, because it's all a feeling is what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. And you start to feel like you're not doing your best or whatever. How are you at this stage right now in this career?
Move on. Keep going.
See, there you go.
He calls himself out. He calls himself out, and then the crowd finally laughs.
Yeah.
And then he moves on to the next joke.
No, is that, I used to care.
Some of the funniest shit is like, if I abandon a joke midstream, I'm like, you know what? We're not doing this. People laugh at that because the tension is high and you just cut it.
You're nailing everything. So like I said, I've been doing it since 2013. And the first year was always like, I want the people to like me. I want them to think I'm funny. Then I started to realize funny is like, I want to say probably half of the battle. The other half is showing I'm a person that you can relate with.
First, you have to be relatable.
Yeah.
They got to, you're saying it exactly right. It is so hard to go up. I see people do it all the time where they go up and they assume everyone relates to the premise.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you have to get them to relate to it first. You have to get them like on your side, bring them into a little piece of your life, you know, and then, you know, make it embarrassing or fun and funny or whatever the fuck you're trying. But definitely when I'm I mean, some jokes don't hit. If it's dead, you know, usually you get a chuckle. At least when you got 100 people, somebody's gonna chuckle, so it's okay.
Yeah.
So you get one chuckle, you're good to go. If you get a room pop, it feels amazing.
Oh, it's heroin. And I've never done any drugs.
Dude.
Ever.
And then when I've
learned tablets is as hard as I've ever gone.
Go out on a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to add something. If you got a good laugh and you've already got the light, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, for me, because I'm like, I want to go out on a high note because that's when they're going to remember.
I always leave early. I mean, when you come out to Cheers, I'm hosting. But when I do my sets at other places or whatever, I very rarely overrun or whatever.
Right.
I always leave. And in the part of leaving kind of before, like when you say, hey guys, that's all I got, that's my time, before you even get the light or whatever, especially when you did well and you got the room to laugh, people are like, wow,
yeah, I want more.
Yeah, they get excited to see you again.
One of the very first like rewards I got, it's funny you bring that up, was I said, that's my time, I'm Ray, and one audience member goes, aw,
yeah,
like wanted more, and I was like, one fan.
One fan. That's right.
Not the one.
Thank you, Mom.
And it was, dude, I love going down when nobody I know is there, but it's really fun when you bring some people and like, you know, try to forget that they're there, or, you know, it naturally just happens. And
I'll never forget the first time you brought me to comedy. We were dating for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so scared. I was probably sweating more than you were.
Yeah.
But I
was like, if I don't like his jokes, if I don't like his comedy, this isn't gonna.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to do it like my entire life. You know, like in like grade school, like when you transition from grade school and go into like middle school, I don't know what if you. We had like this most. Person to, you know, be a mom, most person to sell
most likely,
like literally my sixth grade was like, this guy's gonna host at a comedy cast.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, swear to God.
Oh, that's funny.
And because I've been like this my entire life, always just trying to make people laugh, and you never do it because you just, life gets in the way, you start doing stuff. So in 2013, when I started saying I gotta go out, there was a place out in Scottsdale, and it was a great place, but they closed, they had financial problems, but it was amazing. And I kind of briefly got that sense of there was a group of us getting together, like you were talking about, like a clique, and it was developing, and it was amazing. And I remember my wife was like, you're really gonna go up there? Really gonna go up there? Aren't you worried? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And honestly, if that club was still there, makes you wonder like how far you would have gotten.
Yeah, yeah. You know, really it is stick to it. It's like, this is the game. You know, I started 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years in December. But I only do that open mic. So I've only gone up like, I don't know, 20 something times.
Mm-hmm.
But I practice a ton and I take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And it's like, And then also we do this. And so this helps talking into the mic, just having the mic in front of your face.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that, you know, when you go up on stage, you don't even think that this is going to be a distraction. Then it's going to be the lights are a distraction and you're going to try to, you know, everything's going to try to shut off on you and you're going to forget everything that you thought of and then try to be funny. And then you're like, I'm done early. This is over. Goodbye. I'm sorry for everything.
Do you find yourself panning the crowd and locking eyes with a person?
I try to click in with every corner and I will look at an individual, yeah. You know,
'cause I've done stuff where, like, you know, I'll do that. And then, like, the one person that comes to mind, I don't even know who they are, but it was a female, and she was at that stand-up live, and, like, she was laughing at, like, everything that I was saying, like, hysterically. I very close to almost having her fall out of her chair.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, right? So I, like, locked in, and I'm like, I would then kind of, like, pan, but then I'd go back, like, constantly punching you in the face, lady. And, like, if you can do that, too.
Get one locked in, then
pan away, then come back, constantly just giving them slaps in the faces.
Well, it's fun. I mean, you know, the whole thing is fun. It's just an adventure, and it's challenging and difficult, and it gets your adrenaline running. It's like the best thing going, and it's such an immediate feedback response mechanism to, if you did well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fake it. There's no guitar to hide behind. The music. You know, if you're,
it's the hardest form of entertainment. It's
definitely the hardest.
It's the hardest form of entertainment.
Yeah. And we're doing it. And you're next.
I'll go up. I'll tell my few jokes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have got to wrap this up.
Yeah. We
got to. This has been so fun.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for this spritzy water right here.
Well, sitting in the hot seat, fucking down the middle, right between the uprights, square between the eyes. And, we're going to get off of this and go do another thing, but join us next week for All of This is Temporary. Thanks for joining us this week, and we will see you in the future. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.